Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of a family. Wherever I roam, a Fenway home, that's where I long to be. I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of insanity. Yeah, I live and die with Red Sox pride for eternity. I fake a smile November until opening day. Suffering baseball withdrawal around the clock. When April comes, hey, meet me down on Yawkey Way. That's when Red Sox Nation starts to rock.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Benny and the Bets podcast covering Boston Red Sox baseball. For everyone staying up late watching on Periscope, the podcast, as always, can be found within 30 minutes of the conclusion of this broadcast on both SoundCloud and iTunes. Pardon the police siren in the background. You can also, once again, find it on Spreaker and Player FM. Still working on iHeartRadio. Red Sox just wrapped up a three-game set against the Atlanta Braves. And I am Terry Cushman, and joined, as always, by Austin Hartsfield. Dave Kwiatkowski is off tonight because he is a slacker. Just kidding. He actually had a kind of a family issue he had to tend to, so hopefully everything is good there. But good to have you, Austin. We'll have to hold down the fort.
I think we can manage it.
You've been pretty busy on double coverage with football starting, haven't you?
Yeah, I did, I think, 7 hours of podcasts today between, after this it'll be eight and a half, something like that. But I think I did three episodes of double coverage today, just doing previews, week one pick'ems, and then episode of Rated R podcast in San Antonio today.
Oh, wow. A busy day. Kid. Yeah. The most I've ever done is two. So, all right. So let me flip back to the recap here, and we'll dive right into the series. Game one on Monday, Labor Day, Nathan Eovaldi got the start. Pretty sloppy for 3 1/3. Gave up 4 walks, but no runs for a change. 2 hits, 4 strikeouts. Game was scoreless until the fifth inning, and then Kinsler, Vasquez, Betts each drove in runs on base hits. Albies homered in the sixth, and then Kurt Suzuki sac fly RBI'd in the seventh. And then finally, in the eighth and ninth, the Red Sox really blew it open with Bogarts, Benintendi, Kinsler, all driving in runs and put the exclamation point on the board in the final two innings. Due to Eovaldi's inefficiency, the Red Sox needed 7 relievers in all, so the bullpen was pretty busy, but 8-2 the final. Rick Porcello got the start in game two and scuffled a little early, including a fastball up on Dansby Swanson's head, and then proceeded to be lights out for the next few innings, and he was pulled in the fifth. Steve Pierce drove in 2 on a single in the sixth. Actually, I skipped ahead there. Bogarts, Pierce, and Nunez all had a pretty productive fifth inning, driving in runs. Then Steve Pierce drove in 2 more. He was 3-for-4 for the day. Had a really good game, and bullpen was pretty strong, only gave up two hits. Sox win that one 5-1. And then finally today, Hector Velasquez gave up a couple of runs in about four innings. One was the leadoff solo shot by Ronald Acuna, who had been sort of quiet the whole series. And towards the end of the inning, Nick Markakis had a sac fly RBI. Brandon Phillips made his presence felt early when he was able to deke the first baseman and on kind of a heads-up, base running play and scored the first run. Kept it within a run till the fifth. Drew Pomeranz then proceeded to get absolutely shelled in the fifth inning. Gave up five runs. Game seemed out of reach, but in the eighth, Swihart, Benintendi, Kinsler all drove in multiple RBIs to tie the game. And Red Sox bullpen gave up a run in the bottom of the eighth, but then Brandon Phillips hit a two-run shot to put the Red Sox in the lead in the top of the ninth, and then Craig Kimbrel successfully closed it out. 9-8 the final. Red Sox sweep the Braves. So kind of a weird series, but we'll get into it even more. But shout outs and call outs first. And if you're new to that segment, Austin and I will each shout out a player who did very well throughout the series, and then we'll do the exact opposite and try to call out a player even though there was a sweep. So why don't you lead it off, Austin, with your shout out?
How about like our new hero right now? I mean, Brandon Phillips only called up for, I mean, only played, let's put it that way, for one game, gets on base twice before hitting a go-ahead homer and kind of sending us home happy.
Yeah, and it's certainly going to make the third base situation a little more interesting as the season goes, and maybe as we start the month of October.
Yeah, it should make it interesting, to say the least. I mean, especially with everybody up now, it's a full-scale competition, like basically besides first base, in my opinion, and short.
Right, absolutely. And my shout out is, I'm still clearly not comfortable with the segment, but my shout out will go to Andrew Benintendi, who was really somewhat lost at the plate coming into the series. And as we were talking about right before we came on, was 5-for-9. He did sit the middle game, but seemed to find his swing and was right in the thick of a lot of the action throughout the series. And it's always a matter of time with him. I don't think I've ever really worried about him getting into a really prolonged slump like we've seen with Bradley and even Mitch Moreland. And I think he's a guy that we're definitely going to be able to count on in the month of October.
Yeah, he's already been able to do it in the past in October, and with a swing like that, you can't stay cold too long.
Absolutely not. And he's got the personality for Fenway too. He's hard-headed, and that was a great first-round pick by the Red Sox.
Absolutely. You know who we can't count on in the month of October?
I have a feeling you're about to tell us with your call-out.
Oh, yeah. My call-out is Drew Pomeranz, probably my least favorite human being that holds a baseball. He's horrendous. I mean, you know, he gave us a little hope last week, last series at least, with going four innings, no runs. But we did look past the fact that he had seven hits in that outing. Did not look good today, that's for sure. I mean, he goes a third of an inning, allows five earned runs, and at no point was I like, you know what, this is okay. So I'm, as a member of the Drew Pomeranz hate club, I mean, the charge is back on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we've got a little bit of lefty help with Robbie Scott coming up. So hopefully that will pan out. And Steven Wright is in the pen. He's a righty, but at least will provide some stability one way or the other, if his knee can stay healthy. My call out, as you know, I kind of struggled with this. It's kind of hard sometimes when the Red Sox sweep, but I'm just going to go with Nathan Eovaldi. And maybe we're at the point where he was a little overrated coming in. You know, the baseball nerds would say, oh, this was an absolute steal, and this could be a brilliant trade, but it's been everything but that after his first two starts, and it's almost a bullpen day every time he does get a start. And I know he didn't give up any runs, but he was like 40 pitches in the first inning, and just not a very good performance, and it's tough to really know where he's going to fit, you know, as the playoffs do come around. And hopefully he'll improve to, you know, either end up in a game four situation or maybe just another long relief option. Because as we were saying in the last episode, there's really no obvious candidate right now to do long relief. Like, we don't have our Andrew Miller, and maybe that's like reaching too far, but maybe we don't have our Charlie Morton is actually the best way to put it from last year. So hopefully.
Yeah, but the problem is we have everything else. You know, I feel like that's like the last piece to, at this point, from this team being amazing, like almost unbeatable.
Yeah.
If we can get a long relief option and we can get somebody who's dependable, since right now it's probably looking like it's going to be Sale, Price, Erod, Porcello? Is that what we're thinking?
It's kind of hard to imagine that you're going to go three lefties in a row, but I think you're
going to have to put Porcello in game three.
Well, I was going to say, I think the three lefties give you your best chance to win. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it just depends on what the score is. I mean, if we're down 2-0, I guess I'm going to prefer Erod, to be honest with you. Unless he, you know, gets, you know, roughed up a few starts in a row. But Porcello, we'll just turn it over to, you know, the full recap now. I mean, that was a better start.
It was good enough to get the win.
Yeah, but significantly better than what he had been, you know, doing in his previous starts. But the one thing was he just wasn't efficient. You know, he was already basically up to 100 pitches by the end of the fifth there and had to come out.
Yeah, he was good enough, you know. I mean, as bad as we think it was, not bad, but like as mediocre as we think it was, he only allowed 2 hits. He just didn't have any control. Number one, he wasn't getting calls either, so let's not act like that wasn't a thing, because it was. Like, the umpire was not very good in that game. They weren't getting calls that they usually get on the outside. And, I mean, he gives up 2 hits, 1 home run to, I think, Suzuki. But, you know, besides hitting Dansby Swanson in the head, I don't think it was a bad start.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe that's what he has to do. Maybe he has to hit a guy in the head and the game gets turned around, because right when that happened, I'm like, he's going to be a train wreck. You know, he's hitting guys and he just hasn't been pitching well. Like, I just figured he was just going to sink like a rock after that. But he
tightened up.
Yeah.
Which was good. After that, he tightened everything up. You know, he made sure that he got around on a slider, because for anybody that doesn't know, that was a slider that hit Dansby in the head. Porcello didn't get around it with his fingers, and it just sailed.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was trying to hit him. It wasn't anything like that. It just slipped. But after that, he made sure everything was pretty good. He got out of that inning, and, well, they wound up getting the win.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads me to my next thing here. The matchups did not favor us coming into the series.
Not at all.
Like, so did the Red Sox sweep this series because they're a really good team, or did they sweep because the Braves fucking blew it?
The Braves bullpen was really, really bad this set.
Right.
Like, even Tookie Toussaint didn't play that bad. You know, I mean, he goes 4 scoreless innings, and I think he winds up going five, and they finally get him in the fifth. But, I mean, the Atlanta starting pitchers weren't bad. You know, it was just that bullpen. And the funny thing is, funny enough, that bullpen that they bolstered up, adding guys like Brad Brock and stuff like that. But, like, I don't understand how you can go and get so much at the trade deadline like Atlanta did to bolster a bullpen like that and have them basically blow up like this. Because Venters was awful.
Yeah, and Brock has been a dumpster fire himself for much of the year. You know, I didn't think that was a real good trade. I mean, maybe a complimentary piece if he got his act together, but there were definitely better arms out there, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Winkler doesn't even get an out today. He faces, I think, four guys, four hits, four runs, four earned runs. But it was a pathetic showing by the Atlanta bullpen, and the Red Sox took advantage of it like good teams do.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, you know, where does Atlanta stack up? Because they're a division leader right now, and I mean, this on paper looked like a great series, but like we said, the matchups didn't work, and then Atlanta couldn't really capitalize on the fact that we were basically going to have two bullpen days. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, they'll end up playing, let's see, the Cubs are probably going to play the wild card. So they'll play the winner of the West, I guess, which is the Braves will. So I don't know that they're really built well for the postseason if this series is any indication, and the bullpen that they have is any indication of what's to come, you know, in just only a few weeks now.
And the sad part is, you know, we talk about the NL East, and it was a prime time for the Phillies to take advantage of the fact that the Red Sox were in Atlanta and go in, sweep the Marlins, pick up three games, and only be back probably one or two games or something like that.
How did it pan out?
But they didn't. They lost 2 out of 3 to Miami.
Wow. Yeah.
Can't do that.
They're just both going backwards the same way. And you look at the Nationals and, you know, and you're like, seriously? You couldn't beat these guys? And I don't know. It's just that, you know, that whole division right now, it's just they're just not playing. You know, they're not rising to the occasion, I guess, is the best way to put it.
And a lot of that, in my opinion, is the youth.
Right.
You get this late in the season, you have guys that are that young. Some people step up to the plate and take advantage of it. Other people don't.
Right. And Markakis is apparently slumping, as well as Freeman. I saw a stat on
Ciarte isn't hitting great either.
No, yeah. And those, he's not, I mean, he's been around for, you know, at least a few years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So he's basically one of their veteran players. So they're just not getting a lot out of those guys. I think, was it Freeman didn't have a home run? He only had like two home runs against a righty since like July 5th or something.
It was Freddie.
It was a crazy stat. Yeah. So, you know, you definitely need those guys to step up if you want to at least, you know, make a good account of yourself in October. Yep. So let's talk about Brandon Phillips.
Are you excited?
A little bit, but we got nothing but log jams on the corners of our infield right now. And Pierce looked good this series and seems to be hot and cold. You know, he looked good against the Yankees, kind of quiet after that. And, you know, had a great series against Atlanta. And
so the most important part about Steve Pierce, right, is that he looked good against righties this series.
True.
That's huge because he's going to be good against lefties. If he can get hot against righties, then he's basically the whole package at first base.
Yeah. And, you know, Moreland can be clutch at times. So it's like, he slid into the sidewall there and caught his kneecap on one of those little metal rungs and hasn't really been the same since. But he even when he's healthy, he could go like, you know, 5 for 40 or something and just be terrible.
That's another thing, though. With Mitch, you take the 5 for 40, right? Because he has the opportunity to go 12 for 30 at one point, but also play Gold Glove defense.
Right, right.
It's, you know, you kind of take the good with the bad with both guys at first base.
No, I get that. But I just think Brandon Phillips, like I said on the last show, could potentially be our second best infielder. And he's a Gold Glove defender at second base, and I don't think they're going to take that away from Kinsler at this point. But
if he's half the defender that he was in Cincinnati, then he's going to be the best defender in our infield.
You think he's that good? I mean, Kinsler, yep, I think I Kinsler's really good.
Ian is really, really good. Yeah. Ian, you know, but when we talked about it, we said, you know, Kinsler was going to play Gold Glove defense, but he's also going to hit, what, 250, we think, something like that, something in that range. With Phillips, it's not just Gold Glove defense, it's Platinum Glove defense. He's got the instincts at second base that Jackie Bradley has in the outfield. You know, he'd kind of take a couple steps right as the batter is swinging in order to get there. I'm really excited about Brandon.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a way to keep him in the lineup, and you hate to take it away from Nunez, because, I mean, he's been playing well and kind of back to his 2016-2017 form when he was hitting above 300. And
when he was a spark plug for this team last year.
Yeah, immediately when he was acquired. I wasn't crazy about the trade, but, I mean, he was a game changer right away, and you know, the team just really responded. You know, they upped their games, and you know, we had a pretty decent August. And so, like I said, I hate to take the bat away from him. I think he's adequate enough as a defender, even, you know, in 2018 at third. But, I mean, if you put Phillips over there, that's a great glove. And Xander plays a pretty good shortstop. Kinsler's a Gold Glove second baseman, and you could have Moreland at first, you know, if he...
I'm all for third base Brandon Phillips.
Yeah, and here's the last thing. I mean, if Nunez continues to be that spark plug, is there any way that Phillips ends up at first base? Do Pierce and Moreland take a back seat to Phillips?
I don't know about that one. It's obviously possible, because anything's possible with Alex Cora. We've seen Swihart play first base. We've even seen Holt play first base. So,
I mean, I think that's a long shot. I think that's a long shot, but I'm just saying, I mean, you have to, it's hard to know what the best lineup is, you know, and we know who all the better defenders are. Now, how can you get the most defensively, but also have some really good offense in there as well? It's a hard picture right now. And I mean, if Devers swings a hot bat, I mean, that's just going to complicate it more. And I'm just content to just sit him out and bring him back next year, you know, and I think he's going to do a lot of damage for several years here, but I just don't know that now is the time for Devers.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what they're going to do with Devers. I mean, you know, Cora made the comment last week that he just wasn't playing good enough, but here he is up here. He's been playing okay. But is he ready? I don't think he's ready, especially when we have guys who are producing right now. We don't have time for later at this point.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's just not his time right now. And, you know, and you can kind of play with things a little bit. Like, do you really want J.D. Martinez playing outfield somewhere and then have Devers DH? Like, or is that too much of a defensive liability?
I don't think J.D.'s as bad defensively as people think, right? But it's like, it comes down to, you almost can't take Jackie out of center at this point, as good as he's been defensively. Do you want to take Benny out right now? And, you know, he just had a 3-for-5 game, 5-for-9 for the set. I don't really want to mess with him. And you have Mookie, who's probably going to be your AL MVP. So I don't even want to touch the outfield.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And Bradley would be the odd man out at that point.
Right.
Yeah, so it definitely wouldn't be Benintendi. But it's just so hard to get the perfect fit. I guess that's what I've been getting at this whole time with Phillips and Devers just now. It's just, how do you get the most out of what you have? There's just so many log jams. And I will say this, you know, because I've criticized Cora quite a bit, and, you know, I wasn't thrilled with that lineup he put out today, right before an off day, but I like the fact that he says that Devers and Eovaldi have to be better. Because that gives me confidence.
Accountability.
Exactly. That tells me when October does roll around, I'm at least probably not going to hate, you know, however he structures the lineup or how he slots the rotation in and what his plans are for who to be long relievers and whatnot. You know, I'm a bigger Alex Cora guy now than I was a week ago because of that. And this postseason will probably kind of sway me. You know, if I'm not an Alex Cora guy by the end of this, I might never be.
No, and so. I mean, if they win the World Series and he manages, you know, just equally good as he is right now, or even better, I mean, I think you're going to be on the right side of things and be a core guy, which will be exciting.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily, he doesn't have to win the World Series to win me over necessarily. We got to get out of that first round. I know that much.
Yeah.
And then however it shakes out in the ALCS is, you know, will probably really determine it. I mean, don't get me wrong, especially if we go to the World Series, we have to win it, you know, in my mind. It would be a crushing disappointment, but I'm not going to come out of it blaming Cora. And I wasn't blaming Farrell when he didn't do the double switch, you know, with Workman in, I forget which game of the World Series it was, but it was obviously, it must have been game 3 or 4. But I was like, well, he's going to get better. Yeah, you know, it's kind of crazy that he didn't know that he was supposed to do that, but he's going to get better. And he didn't, but I wasn't jumping on the anti-Farrell wagon at that point yet, you know. And so we'll just see how it goes. The other thing in the back of my mind, this is jumping too far ahead, but a year from now, we're not going to be at 97 wins, you know. We'll probably be at 81 or 82 wins or something like that at this point.
But I've said this before, right? This is a spur of the moment. You know, this team finally got put together. They look really good. But here's the thing. They're probably going to add more pieces next year and not going to lose a bunch because half of them are already under contract if we think about it. So it'll kind of be like the 73-9 Warriors the year that they went to the finals and lost, right? Minus the losing in the finals. The 73 wins was, you know, record-breaking, phenomenal. A better team the next year only wins 67 games. So that's what I think is actually going to wind up happening. They're going to have less wins next year, but actually be a better team.
No, and that's possible, but the roller coaster ride is going to, you know, is still going to get people wound up throughout the year. And
yeah, it's Boston.
Because, you know, we're used to this. Some people might think that this is forever, you know, like the real casual fans. And it's going to be fun to watch them flip out. But yeah, I mean, it's really exciting, though. And it should be the third year in a row that, you know, we win the division. Do we know what the magic number is? It must be 15 for the moment, isn't it?
I think it's, I think it's actually 14.
Oh,
it's,
is it 14? 14. Somebody said I was one off yesterday, and he might have been right, but
The magic number is 14, and the Yankees are down 6-0.
So it could be 13 then by the end of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6-0. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Who got the start tonight? Was it Sevy?
Sev.
who starts? This is the wild card game right here, basically. So
yes,
like, who starts? Like, if you're, I, you know what, you kind of have to base it off the start, don't you, for Severino?
Yeah, because it was Severino Fires, which is probably going to wind up being the All-Star. I mean, not the All-Star, but the wild card game.
But
and I think it will be exactly that.
Even if you do, you think they still give it to Severino?
I don't think you can not give it to Severino.
Ugh, I mean,
it's a guy who you think is your ace. I mean, who else are you going to put there? Tanaka, Hap?
Yeah. Well, Tanaka's
been... have a lot of good options, is the thing.
Tanaka's pitched pretty well, though, the second half, and he's been there before. And Sabathia's a no, because, I mean, he has all he can do to get into the fourth inning lately. And I don't know. I mean, Hap... maybe he can make a case anyway these last few weeks, but I think you really have to look at this game tonight in terms of Severino, and he gave up 6 runs.
Yep, and fairly quickly too, in 2 2/3.
Yeah, that's tough. That is really tough. Yeah, I might go with Tanaka. I might, just based on what I saw tonight.
And the funny thing is, I don't even think Aaron Boone has an option. He's going to do whatever the analytics team tells him to.
Probably, because we've been saying that all along. Is he really managing? Yeah. I'll tell you what, too. He's gotten really good at, like, theatrics, you know, with when he got tossed. He looked good. He looked good getting tossed, you know, and he really brought it, but... The other thing I was worried about last night, he was kind of chirping about the balls and strikes just from the dugout. I think Stanton struck out, and then you could kind of see Boone mouthing off to the umpire from the dugout. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that looks good, and you want to have your players' backs, but you got to still be the manager. You know, you still got to be the authority figure, and if you're just like one of them – at that point, you're going to lose the clubhouse eventually because you're not dealing out the disciplinary stuff. And so,
and it's like with Aaron Boone, it's like, who the hell do you think you are? Like, you hit one big home run in your career, and it got you the man to be the manager of the Yankees,
right?
Like, at this point, just enjoy the ride. You're not going to get the calls because you're a first year manager. You're the New York Yankees, so you'll get one every now and then, but. Come on, just cut it out.
How long do they ride this out with him? Because Cashman took a lot of heat for it. I mean, firing Girardi wasn't a popular decision.
It was dumb.
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely a large faction that wanted him gone amongst the fan base, but I'd like to think that it was at least 60% in favor of him still. And he didn't look good in that game against the Indians where he didn't challenge the pitch where I think it went off the knob of the bat, but he should have checked to see, you know, just to make sure it was off the bat or whatever. And, you know, and
it's so crazy. Like, when was the last time that a division whose teams finished first and second both fired their manager?
Yeah. Right. And then to get like game seven, like, I wanted the Yankees to suck so bad this year because I just really wanted to watch the turmoil, you know, for firing Girardi. And it didn't happen because they've been the second best team in baseball. And so
the funny thing is, this is almost better.
You think so?
In my opinion, because you get to watch them scramble. You get to see the fan base on Twitter be like, you know, well, you know, we'll be all fine when Gary Sanchez gets back. Spoiler alert, Gary Sanchez is back, and y'all are still bad.
Yeah.
So that fan base is scrambling. They're chasing a team that's basically already gone at this point, if we're being completely honest.
Right.
It's funny.
It's kind of like last year, like, you know, with... I kind of saw the writing on the wall, like, halfway through September. I'm like, you know what, we're not really built to be a postseason team. And then the final week played out where, you know, we weren't sure if we were even going to win the division. We thought maybe there might have to be a game 163 and then possibly a wild card. And I knew by that point, I predicted a 3-1 loss in the ALDS. And I think the Yankees are really trending towards that, and even the wild card is going to be really tough for them. But you know, in hindsight, a lot of people can look at the Red Sox and say, yeah, you know what, everyone should have known that we were definitely going to get beat by the Astros, and the Yankee fans are in denial right now, and I think they're going to look back in hindsight and say, yeah, you know what, we should have known in September all along that we were not built for the postseason, and, you know, so it sucks for them, and it sucked for us, but, you know, it is what it is, and I'm just glad
it happened.
Yeah, I'm just glad we're going to win the division again.
Me too.
Yeah, and it's a must win. I mean, this
was that four straight?
That would be three for us.
Three?
Yeah. Yeah, 16 and 17. 15 was the Lovello year at the end. But if we don't win,
if we don't make it to the World Series, this season is a failure.
Well, even we have to make it to the LCS, though. Like,
yeah.
If we lose in the first round again, this whole season was a lie.
This is – all right, so I'm going to say something a little controversial, right? I think this is a better team than we had in 04, 07. The 07 one is the closest by far. And then I think it's a better team than 2013, too. We're just missing a guy like a Lester.
Yeah. Well, there's no precedence for any of these guys winning, obviously.
Right.
I'd feel a lot more comfortable if David Bryce had a couple of wins, obviously. You know?
I think everybody would. I think I would feel more comfortable if, you know, Mookie Betts had more postseason success.
Right. Here's the measuring stick for me. And I like to put Porcello in this moment, but go back to game three of the 2013 ALCS, Lackey versus Verlander. The Red Sox win that game 1-0 because John Lackey pitched the game of his life. And so did Justin Verlander until the seventh inning and gave up a solo to Napoli. And that was still a great performance, even though he was on the losing end of it. But put David Price in that position where Lackey was. Put Rick Porcello in that position.
Was in that position the next game in Detroit.
He started game four?
With the Tigers. He didn't start, but he came in relief, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. But, I mean, even now, though, now that, you know, he's kind of evolved and you know, I mean, I think we can all agree that the Cy Young was a bit of a fluke, but, you know, he kind of emerged
as... It was a product of a bad pitching year.
Yeah, and just a really weird run that he was able to go on. The point I'm making is I don't think Porcello lives up to it in that game. I think we lose that game if 2018 Rick Porcello is pitching it, or even 2016 Rick Porcello, for that matter. And I think we lose if David Price pitches that game as well. You know, 2018 David Price. So we need these guys to step up, obviously, as starting pitchers, and at least get us into the next round. So I don't know. And David Price gave up a home run to Chris Davis and lost that game against Oakland earlier in the year. So that's one guy on this staff that can take him deep if we do end up facing Oakland, and they can mash anyway. I mean, they're not going to be afraid of anyone we put on the mound. So, I don't know. Every team is scary.
Yeah, that's baseball, though. The good news is, the best part about this is, we get to find out in less than a month.
Yeah. I love the month of October, though. I mean, even... when the Red Sox tossed the last couple of years, I absolutely love it.
There's nothing like watching an elimination game or even watching a game one of a series. It doesn't matter who's playing.
It's
just electric.
The matchups are just so good, you know, and yeah,
My favorite part is actually watching the managers' like minds function. You know, because you get to see who actually is the best managers. You get to see what they do with their bullpens and what they make the decisions. You kind of see why they make their decisions once the pitchers get out there. But, I mean, it shows why Tito's one of the greatest of all time. Why Joe Maddon, even though he's an idiot, somehow figures out to how to do things in October. And it's pretty phenomenal to watch.
Yeah. I mean, Maddon, that game with, was it game seven with Hendricks, I think? And then he took him out.
He didn't leave him out there.
And then he left. He put Chapman in, who, you know,
blew it.
Yeah, had a tired arm by that point. It's just crazy. And you know, you look at Cora, and like we were saying earlier, we don't know who our long guy is, and he might just have to take an old school approach and tell his starters, at least Sale and Price, being like, look, we need you for six or seven, and. You know,
yeah, because you can't tell Erod that for sure, because, well, he's not going to be able to throw 120 pitches in six innings. Arm right. Can't take it.
Yeah. And so, you know, you might see a bit of a old school approach there. And you look at all these teams, too. Like, I'm a little disappointed with the moves we made. I mean, the Kinsler move, I'm finally good with, and he's swinging.
I'm actually
a good
okay
bat
with most of them besides the Eovaldi move, but I understand why that move needed to be made.
Yeah, I think he should have just been a little more patient and, you know, got someone better. I mean, even if you get Mike Fiers, I mean, there was no way he was going to command a big trade at any point, you know, in the month of October.
Now he's shutting down the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. And we were linked to him at some points, and I just think he should have been a little more patient. We got Eovaldi on the 25th of the month, so there's almost a full week still to go, and you know, and it looked good at the time, and I was trying to be as open minded as I could. I mean, his career numbers didn't jump out at me, and you know, two Tommy Johns, but the point I was getting at, though, is look at all these other teams. They were, like, way more aggressive. I mean, whether the Yankees' moves pan out or not, they were definitely aggressive. I mean, I didn't think they were going to get Zach Britton. I thought their bullpen was good, you know, as it was, and that they needed a better starting pitcher. But Haps, you know, really panned out. Lance Lynn, not so much. He got off to an okay start, but really looks putrid lately. But they were aggressive, and you know, the Astros got Ozuna, and they were a fairly complete team, you know, except for their bullpen. But they went out and they got their piece, and the A's were extremely aggressive. They got Fiers, Chapman. I didn't mean Chapman. Familia is who I meant, and then they got Rodney. Didn't they add a bat or no?
The A's?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. But they were aggressive, though. And a lot of their trades are panning out. And who else am I missing? The Indians got Brad Hand and Adam Simber, and that addressed a need. And they just added Donaldson, which I'm kind of skeptical about, at least.
Yeah, he just hit a homer in his first.
Yeah, grand slam, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, can his arm hold up at third base? That's my question.
He's not going to play third base because Jose Ramirez is playing third base.
Oh, is he? Oh, I thought.
Yeah, that's where Jose Ramirez plays.
I thought they were going to put Ramirez at second and then Kipnis in center, I thought is what I heard.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, that was on MLB Network.
It works. I just don't think Kipnis has the range.
Or even Donaldson, you know, at this point. Like, I forget what it was with his arm, but he was having a hard time throwing the ball. So, who knows how it'll pan out. But like I said, the Indians were aggressive. And you look at the National League side, the Brewers, very aggressive. The Braves got Brock, and then they got Gausman. I don't know. What did the Rockies do? Anything?
Nothing really. Freeland's doing amazing, and they're just kind of floating the boat right now.
Yeah, and then the Diamondbacks got Escobar, and then they added Ziegler.
That was a big one, in my opinion.
I think so, too. I loved that trade for them. And but, again, very aggressive. And the Dodgers got Machado. So, you know, so I think those teams, I think they outperform the Red Sox as far as trades go. And the Red Sox kind of, you know, the Phillips thing looks good. You know, that's just, you know, that was kind of a sneaky good move because anybody could have had him. And Brazier just kind of worked out, kind of emerged from the farm. And so those kind of feel like acquisitions. But still, like I said, I just think we got outworked by the other teams. So we'll see. Hopefully that doesn't come back to bite us.
You ready to talk about the Astros?
Yes. Why don't we start with the pitching matchups?
I think game one is what, Cole Price?
Yep, that's what I'm showing. And Cole has been pretty solid all season, hasn't he?
Yeah, we actually just ran a poll on Double Coverage, kind of trying to figure out who is going to be the second starter during the LDS for the Astros, right? And actually, the Astros fans seem to want Keuchel to be the Game 2 starter.
Yeah, I saw some stats on him the other day. He had like a 4-plus ERA in April and May, and then basically from June 1st forward, he's pitching to a 2.5, a little under that, actually. So yeah. That's fine. That's good. And he's a lefty, right?
I think Keuchel's a righty.
Oh, is he a righty? My bad.
I think so. I might be wrong, though. But, I mean, everybody's back healthy. That's the thing with this team. Alex Bregman had 5 RBIs again tonight. So it's a lot like a mirror image of ourselves, right? Except their starting pitching is performing right now and actually healthy.
Right, and they're proven. And actually, Keuchel is a lefty. So to me, he would be my game two starter, even if Cole was, you know, a little bit better, because – You want to slot a lefty in between him and
Verlander. Yeah, you want to mix it up.
Yeah. I knew that because Devers was hitting pretty well against lefties last year, and for whatever reason, Farrell sat him during the Keuchel start. So that was kind of – and I wasn't Marrero. I think Marrero was his choice, so it was just a terrible move by Farrell in that spot. But getting back to what you were saying, they're all pitching to their potential, you know, and it's tough to tell how the Cy Young's going to go.
And the funny part is they're all pitching to their potential pretty much except for Justin Verlander. I mean, Verlander hasn't looked phenomenal his past couple starts. So, but we don't have to see Verlander, so that's all right.
And we've actually...
Yeah, we handled Justin pretty well.
Yeah, we've got a good history. Even I remember going to a game. It was him versus Daniel Bard, and we lit Verlander
wild up that times.
Night. Yeah, and you know, and that was obviously a different staff back then, anyway. But just at certain points, we have hit him pretty well. How's Morton been? He's pitching game two. He's gotten knocked around his last few starts by the looks of it.
Well, while you kind of look up everything on Morton, the guy, you know, everybody talked about the Ozuna deal at the deadline. The most important deal that the Astros actually made at the deadline was actually getting Presley from the Twins. I mean, he's a right-handed pitcher. He's got phenomenal stats. I mean, I think his slider has the second biggest bite on it. I think that's the stat, besides Luis Severino. And he has been lights out since being acquired.
Yeah, they got him from Minnesota, and that was kind of a little bit under the radar at the time. I mean, I don't recall him being, you know, highly coveted, but...
he's one of those advanced stat guys that looks really good if you're into all of those.
Yeah, I get
actually
that.
Actually drafted by the Red Sox, by the way.
Was he?
Yep.
Huh. What year?
2007, 11th round out of Flower Mound, Texas.
So he's been around a while then.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He is 29 years old.
Oh, really? Wow. I was going to guess he was 32, 33.
So his last 15 games that he's appeared in, right? 14.2 innings pitched, a 0.61 ERA.
Wow.
Dude has been lights out. No walks, by the way. 21 strikeouts.
They had a top five bullpen for most of the year, and I think they were even number one for a little while, which was kind of surprising. And
yeah, they went through a stage where Davinsky struggled. Even McHugh actually struggled, which was really weird for him because he's been lights out pretty much his whole career. But they decided to make what was good even better, and I don't blame them for that.
Yeah, and Ozuna, though, struggles against the Red Sox. Like, we've hammered him a number of times, so I don't know if they were really looking at that at the time they made the deal, but that's one guy we can, if we need to rally, you know, some runs might be put up against him. But yeah, I had heard kind of Presley was doing well, and I was kind of surprised because his numbers weren't crazy at the deadline. But that coaching staff there, they seem to know stuff that nobody else knows, you know. And earlier in the year, they were saying a lot of these Astros pitchers, and I think Morton especially, had one of the highest spin rates, you know, in the league. And
yeah, that's the thing that they're really big on in Houston is spin rate.
Yeah.
And that's why they didn't seem too concerned about Charlie Morton.
Right.
That's why he is 13-3.
Yeah. And I mean, crazy, but he's really emerged as a really good starting pitcher. Now, obviously, I mean, who's the game four starter on that staff? Is it Morton?
Yeah, it's Charlie Morton, 100%.
It is Morton, yeah. And McCullers is injured, too, so. Or at least last I knew he was, so he wouldn't have been viable anyway, so. But
it will definitely be interesting to see if A.J. Hinch actually slides Morton back into that long relief, I guess.
Well,
part is I don't think they need Morton there. I think McCullers would be, if he comes back, which I don't think he's going to, at least for a while, I think McHugh would actually be the best one for that long relief role. Guy that started as a starting pitcher in his career, he's pitched those innings, and I think he would be fine and play the Morton role, basically.
Yeah, and you may as well. And, I what the score of the series is could also dictate how those things go anyway. I mean, Farrell was using Chris Sale in game four as a reliever at one point. So not saying other managers would have, but sometimes the circumstances are just going to dictate things a certain way. So how do we see it going then? It's going to be
Price. I don't feel awful about this David Price start.
You don't feel awful about it?
No. Because he proved to me last year that he could pitch against them during the postseason. And then he did it again with another start in Houston earlier this year. So that's not a start that I'm really too worried about. Yeah. I think the one that I'm really worried about, I think, is game three, right? With Porcello? Is that game three?
That is game three.
That's the one that I'm kind of worried about because if they get something on Rick, then we're kind of screwed. I don't want them to get into Rick's head or anything like that. Even if he goes like he did, like the last series, right? Where he goes five innings. He doesn't look awful. He doesn't look great. Gives up two hits. He did it against a good Atlanta team, a young Atlanta team. If he does that against Houston, I will be 100% okay with it. We can win 2-3, for sure.
Yeah, and I thought Chris
Sale... It's going to be a bloodbath, though.
You think so?
Yeah, like I think that this is going to be the toughest set that we've had in a while. I guess back to the Tampa series, but I think it's going to be more back and forth than the Tampa series was.
Yeah, And Sale, I guess, isn't going to be an opener in any of these games, I guess?
No.
Okay.
No, I think it's Price, E-Rod, Porcello.
Isn't it funny how when things get tense, you start to hear more of, oh, Sale's doing this today, Sale's doing that, maybe this weekend or maybe game three of this series or whatever, he could come back. And then we just go on a tear again and it's like everything gets scrapped again.
Yeah, it's like everything's okay again.
Yeah, it's like they just don't want to use him for as long as we have a big lead, basically. And then when it gets down to six or seven games over the Yankees, then they're like, they start to ramp it up again. And I mean, he pitched four straight days at 120 feet on flat ground, just playing long toss. And I don't know, you just haven't really heard much. And then
are you starting to buy in the fact that they're just kind of resting him?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's been in the back of my mind anyway, really.
Yeah.
But it's like they really want to rest this guy. Like, they have no interest in starting him unless they have to.
Well, they want, I think that Cora wants him to be able to go 120 pitches during the postseason.
Oh, is that what he said?
You know what I'm saying? No, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
You know, you want him to be able to give as much as he can every single game and outlast the other starting pitcher. Because if you outlast the other starting pitcher, then normally you'll have the lead at that point.
True. Yeah. And I mean, his stuff was nasty in that one.
The Baltimore start.
Yeah. So
what, 12 strikeouts in 5 innings.
Yeah. So he showed that he could do it. And I think he's smart enough that he can back off if he has to, you know, and pitch to contact if we got a big enough lead, you know, so he's not completely gassing himself out there.
Right. And, you know, when he came over here and we kind of allowed him to pitch to contact last year, I just don't think that's him. He's smart enough to do it right, but he's also super competitive to where he wants to strike everybody out, because that's what Chris Sale does.
Yeah. And, you know, and maybe he will keep that mentality the whole time, but I just think he's a really smart pitcher and can shift gears if he has to. And
I'm just really glad that he's on our team.
Yeah. And last question with him, though, is it to his benefit that he doesn't see these guys in September? Or, like, who has the advantage, really? Does he have
I don't want Alex Bregman to have another bat against Chris Sale before the postseason.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, he hasn't seen him since they kind of fixed his delivery and closed him off. And that's a big deal, because if Bregman gets to Sale, that's when everything starts to become unraveled. Alex Bregman is the heart and soul of that team. I don't think people understand that. And if he gets the wheels turning, that entire team will get going.
Yeah, no, and I totally get that. I'm just wondering if it's to Sale's advantage or disadvantage. I think it's to his benefit. Okay, because my only concern is he's not going to get any chance to make adjustments. Like, he could get shelled this week against them and kind of know what he's doing and have that intel for the playoff start. But where he doesn't have that, if he gets off to a bad start, who knows if he's going to get it back, you know, that type of thing. And so, you know, typically the more a pitcher sees a lineup, it's typically to their advantage, but I don't know.
But it can also go the other way.
Yeah, well, hopefully it will, because, you know, that appears to be the situation where he's just going to get maybe one start against them in October if all goes well, you know. And, well, I guess he would pitch a game five, but we'd have to sweep them for him to not see them twice. But, yeah, so I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. And his Cleveland numbers, I mean, they're his boogeyman as well.
It's the AL Central as a whole.
True, true. But
just,
I mean,
they've had so many at bats of it against him throughout the years that they have enough tape.
Yeah, and some of them are just good. I mean, Ramirez.
Yeah, the two MVP candidates on the left side of the infield are pretty damn good.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and you know, Price against they weren't a very good lefty hitting team last year, and that's why when people cite the fact that Price dominated them, and you know, in those relief appearances, I just kind of roll my eyes because I'm like, CC Sabathia dominated them, Rich Hill dominated them, and they just couldn't hit lefties throughout the postseason, and so it, you know, Price is really no different, and I think last I checked they were like ranked sixth against lefty pitchers, so they seem to be a little better this year, but so is Price. You know, he's having one of his best years probably since 2015 when he was Cy Young runner up. So
his best season with us.
Yeah, by far. And so, yeah, so who knows? I mean, it's just kind of, it's obviously not the be-all and end-all this weekend, but hopefully we look good. And Erod's the most curious one of them all, I would say.
Erod is the X factor,
yeah,
of the entire playoffs, in my opinion.
Right, exactly.
Because if he can be, like we saw in the last start, you know, like that, and this team is going to be very, very hard to beat pitching-wise.
Yeah, you know, with his changeup working as good as it was, you know, he just...
That's the key with him, too. If he can get his breaking stuff working, we know he can throw a fastball.
Right. Absolutely. And I love E-Rod, and, you know, it's kind of hard to defend him, you know, when he's injured all the time. And you know, he's almost... in a way, like Buchholz. I think he's got a little bit more toughness on the mound than Buchholz, though. And but still, you know, finds himself on the DL for extended periods. And
just be glad that you defend Erod and not Price, because it's extremely hard.
Yeah, exactly. I already know what my tweet's gonna say if Price loses this game and doesn't look good. I'm just going to tell people. I'm going to be like, look, I'm not going to call David Price a fraud for losing today, but I will in October, you know, when he's 0 for 10, 0 for double digits at that point, you know.
Little non-Red Sox news real quick. Trevor Story hit a ball 505 off his back foot.
Wow.
That's wild.
He's got one of the coolest names in MLB, Trevor Story.
That he does.
Hashtag story time. I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
It's amazing, honestly.
I love that team.
Rockies team as a whole is a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Nolan Arenado. Who doesn't love Nolan Arenado?
Yeah, I don't understand. He's a lot like Goldie to me, to where I don't understand how people could not like Nolan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you always see him, even when things aren't going well, and, you know, he's not, you know, Mr. Smiles. He's in that dugout getting in people's faces,
yep,
telling them.
That's one of my favorite clips.
You
is
better.
Him just going off in that dugout,
yeah,
and yelling at everyone.
Exactly.
The fact that they should be better than this.
Yeah, I love him. I don't know. I mean, he's, I think, what, a free agent after next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if we could be in play for him at that point. I mean, a lot of money would be off the book, so.
Yeah.
But you also got to find a way to sign some of these guys.
Or who knows, maybe even Devers turns into a half-decent third baseman.
Yeah, but wouldn't he possibly end up at first, though? Isn't that
I want him to end up at first so bad.
Yeah, because, I mean, Chavis and Dahlbeck and... maybe Sam Travis.
I want Dahlbeck to be playing third base here within the next couple of years.
Right. Is he A-ball yet or double A, actually?
Yeah, he's in Portland.
Yeah, so he could be up next year. I mean, if he just goes on a tear, I mean, once you're in double A, I mean, we've seen,
saw it with Benny.
Yeah.
Half the people skip triple A anyway.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mookie played in Pawtucket for what? Just
week. A week or something like that.
Exactly. It wasn't long. Yeah.
Benny just skipped it as a whole.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Let's just what else is going on around the league that we can possibly
let's check on the Yankees real quick.
7-0.
Hooray.
Yeah. I've got that one on. Let me see. Let me just pull up the standings real quick.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
That's just my go-to. The Cardinals
Twins have lost 5 in a row after dropping 3 straight to the Astros. The Indians' magic number is now 8.
8 to win the division?
Yep.
Yeah, that's nothing. Let's see. The Cardinals have cooled off, though, as of late, haven't they?
Yeah, they had to have.
Yeah.
They've won 2 in a row, but, you know, Cubs just kind of... It's not that they took care of the Brewers, right? It's just they've created 4 games of separation at this point. I think the Brewers took like the first 2, and then the Cubs finally said, "Hey, we're the Chicago Cubs. I need you to step back."
Right. Yeah, and what about the West? I mean, what a mess. And that's a good mess.
It is a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's what the West is every year, though. Every year around this time, besides, I mean, last year, there's like 3 or 4 teams in it.
But, I mean, at July 31st, I mean, we were talking about how we couldn't – nothing stood out. I don't know if the Rockies did anything, really. And, I mean, it was just all about Arizona, L.A., you know, and they're scuffling. I mean –
Here's the thing with Coors, though. Once your bats get hot, if they get hot on the road, you come home, and they look like an electric factory.
Yeah, apparently. And, you know, the Dodgers lost Morrow, and they've had some issues with Jansen, so you got some bullpen issues there. And, I mean, isn't the back end of their rotation kind of struggling as well?
The Dodgers pretty much... as a whole are struggling, especially with Jansen out. I mean, they're 7-3 in their last 10, but I mean, they're doing it with guys like Muncy. It's going to be really hard for them if they do make it to the wild card game to be good with the couple of the core guys out.
Yeah, but I mean, they could still win the division as well.
Yeah, and they're only a game back.
Right. And let's see.
Wouldn't mind a wild card rematch of last year's.
Well, right now the wild card is actually St. Louis, Milwaukee, if it ended today. So, I mean,
that's exciting.
You might have to win the West to get in. I mean, that might be your only way in. And the Brewers aren't playing bad ball right now. I mean, they've had a couple of walk-off wins lately. And
they're 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah, I think wasn't it Carl Edwards had a meltdown the other day, and Madden got tossed, and Brewers walked it off. Yeah, and I know they got the Reds late in the month because I'm going to be at that game in a couple weeks. But so that you know, that's a nice series for them, and I don't know. And St. Louis ends with the Cubs, as we've said, so that could.
That'll be fun.
It won't decide the division necessarily, but it'll probably determine whether Houston either gets home field in a wild card or makes it or whatever. So they're going to have a lot on the line for sure. And with the Diamondbacks, like what's going on? Is it the bullpen? Because I know Bradley got hammered by Kemp.
Kemp had his way with Bradley.
Yeah, they've only won 4 of the last 10, but I don't know. I just, when they made the Ziegler deal, I'm like, they already had the best bullpen in MLB, and I just thought that would put them over the top, and Buchholz is pitching pretty well, and Greinke has his ERA under 3. Like, I didn't see that. Like, I've been completely sleeping on him, and... I don't know. I haven't really looked at their rotation lately, but...
When it's like Robbie Ray starting to turn it around. Yeah. And if you can get Greinke and Robbie Ray going, then, I mean, that could be a pretty beneficial duo if you do make it to the postseason.
I mean, Buchholz is in there. I mean, he's going to be the two or three starter if they get to the LDS for sure. So it's just, yeah.
Cladro doing Cladro things.
Right. And I don't know. It's just, that's a fun division right now anyway. Like, it's tough to tell that there's anything wrong with baseball, you know, when you look at those two.
It's getting exciting, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean,
this is leading up to the best time of year.
On paper, the East looks good, but I mean, really, they're just the two top heavy. Yeah, they're just underperforming, really. And kind of scuffling. Both of them have only won 4 out of their last 10. And is Seattle, like, can we write their obituary yet?
Seattle. Put them to bed.
Yeah. They had that brawl, apparently. I guess it was between Dee Gordon and Gene Segura.
Yeah, which is, I mean, Segura's always been a hothead, right? But it takes a lot to get Dee Gordon fired up.
Yeah, he himself made
the reporters leave.
Yeah, he evacuated the clubhouse there and then just went to town. And I guess Zunino jumped in. I thought Zunino was one of the primary combatants, but apparently he was just trying to help break
it up.
Yeah, and they just extended Scott Service. So then this happens. But I don't know. I mean, the Marlins extended Mike Redmond. They gave him a 3-year deal and then fired him like 9 games into the season. So
It happened. I mean, the Rams did it last year with Jeff Fisher.
Oh, did they?
Or they hired Sean McVay. Oh, yeah. They gave Jeff Fisher an extension and then 2 days later actually fired him.
2 days?
2 days.
Wow, shit.
It was incredible.
So did the other coach just become available or...
No, they decided that 7-9 wasn't going to be acceptable anymore. It was actually hilarious because the internet absolutely roasted them whenever they extended Jeff Fisher because they're just promoting mediocrity.
Right.
And then Sean McVay comes in and I think they go 11-5 this year.
Yeah.
Turn it around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was they a playoff team last year or no?
Yeah. They went 11-5 and they are Yeah, they're on paper the best team in football this year.
Okay, yeah. I thought I remembered them doing fairly well, but they did lose. They lost to the Eagles right away, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the Eagles got hot, you know, at the right time. But, yeah, so, yeah, with baseball, with the, you know, the National League is obviously a lot more interesting right now because there's only one true AL race going on right now. So, and we're kind of watching that.
Hopefully we will be at 100 wins by the end of the week, which is crazy to think. Like, by the end of the next 2 series, let's put it that way.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, we got to sweep.
Yeah, no, yeah. I didn't mean, I'm in like next week from today.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Who do we have after Houston, do you know?
I think it's the Marlins. No, not the Marlins, but it's like the Mets or somebody like that.
Oh, it is the Mets, yeah, yeah. And I'm not sleeping on them because they, you know, they've played well in spurts this second half. So,
okay, so we go Blue Jays Mets.
Oh, Blue Jays Mets. All right.
Yeah.
So my next question was, might we face DeGrom? But it's probably a little too early.
Yeah, a little too early. All TBAs to this point.
Or will they? Because I said, or will they? Because one of you guys mentioned that they might just sit him to kind of protect his
1.68 ERA.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wouldn't you do the same thing?
Well, does it matter now? I guess is my next question. Or does
because oh no, I mean, he's the runaway Cy Young.
Yeah. So
and at this point, I think he's competing for MVP votes.
So maybe they probably do play him then. I would say.
But. I don't know.
He's got
the best numbers for a Cy Young winner in the past 10 years, which is incredible to think. And he's got better numbers than when Verlander won the MVP. He's got better numbers than when Kershaw won the MVP. So why not Jacob DeGrom for MVP?
Who's the closest to him? Like, or who's the front runner if it's not him?
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah. See, I I can look at the
screen. Aaron Nola. Nola or Scherzer?
No, I meant for MVP, not Cy Young.
Oh. I mean, maybe Baez, Arenado, guys like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be Baez of the two?
Baez looks really good right now.
Yeah.
So
he impresses me. And he's always been really good anyway, but he's just been lights out all year.
Already at 100 RBIs.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, those are the guys that, you know, DeGrom, I guess, is up against as a pitcher.
Baez is 3 points away, right, from being a 300/321 guy. Wild. He'd be hitting 300, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, and 21 stolen bases. That is absolutely incredible.
I was wondering if he might get 30, but probably not. 30 stolen bases.
He might. I mean, he possibly could.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I forgot to mention it, but was it this series? I think it was the series before last. Bobby Pointer has a slow delivery. And
yeah, it's a problem.
They were running at will on him. Like, remember that series we were doing it against Gausman? Like, that was all tape. Like, well, they just knew coming into the game that they were just going to run on him. But with Pointer, it was just so painfully obvious. They picked it up, you know, during the game, and they took off. And I'm like, geez, you know, I don't know how they address that. You know, he'll probably have to do some pickoff attempts, but
we've seen the worst person ever throw to first base than Lester, so it can't be worse than that.
The worst one was it Rajay Davis during the
playoffs? It was not good.
Like, Davis is like, I think he was starting to run, but then he turns back and then he's like doing this dance or whatever because he doesn't know what the fuck to do. And Lester's just looking at him like a deer in the headlights. And he gets back to the bag. And I'm like, geez, like, how did we?
I'm waiting for Lester on the mound to be like, just go. Just go.
Please. Man. How was that not like painfully obvious by 2013?
I don't know. I don't think that we even really tried to address it either. I mean,
He's a lefty, so you know, so that helps. But
yeah. Oh, if he was a righty, it would be so much worse.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Yeah, because his back's to him. But yeah, I don't know. So what about 8-ball? Do we have anything?
Yes. Let me find it. You want to just, did you post it again this week?
I did, yeah. So, let's see. I haven't, like, I've neglected my account for the last 8 hours, so.
Ooh, we have one.
One? That's
the best thing to do. We have one, and then I'll go back and get a couple from the last one.
All right.
Mookie Season, our graphic designer, let's put it that way. Will Brandon Phillips win World Series MVP?
8-ball says yes, definitely.
Woo! Let's go. Let me find it.
It's roughly
scroll.
3 days ago, roughly.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who followed the new podcast account, by the way.
Yeah. Well, we'll get on that. I had to ban myself because apparently two of us being logged in is
against the rules. I don't think there's any question who's running the account, by the way, with the amount of gifts.
Yeah.
Like, I thought about that. I was like, I wonder if people question who's running it. And then I just scrolled through all the gifts that I posted. I was like, no, it's definitely the 22-year-old.
I'm actually really bad at managing the Avid Boston one, too. So, like, it's definitely better that you're doing the podcast one.
Yeah, I have all three on mine. I have mine, the double coverage, and the Benny and the Bets on there.
Yeah.
Is this our last year of real contention, Joshua Nord?
Oh, he's actually one of my writers. Really? Yep. Let's see. Better not tell you now. The suspense.
Daniel McLean. Will JD Martinez get the Triple Crown?
That's an excellent question. And 8-Ball says, without a doubt.
Ooh, let's see. A lot of these are questions that we can answer afterwards, but
well, you could,
like, they're not like yes no questions.
Yeah, or you could just turn it into one. I can.
That one would be really hard. Let's see.
Hang on, let me see if I can find it. Oh, here it is.
No, that doesn't work either. Is there anyone in the bullpen that we can trust?
Is there anyone That's Laura. In the bullpen? Do you know her? She lives near you, I think. She's in Texas, I noticed.
Look, Terry, Texas is a very big place.
It's like another country, I know. It's big. Yeah. my sources say no. Can't
no
trust anybody. I wonder who the source is.
That's good.
That's who I want to know.
That's good.
When is Devers coming back isn't going to
work. Yeah, that's not. Like, a lot of these are like, who's going to win the NL West? Stuff like that.
Well, you could, want to do,
will Jacob DeGrom win the NL MVP?
Will Jacob DeGrom win the NL MVP? Without a doubt. That's like the most popular answer for this one.
Alicia Townsend, will the offense ever get it together?
Will the offense? 8-Ball says, my sources say no. A lot of repeats.
Somebody hasn't been watching like past the sixth inning.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on. So let's, we can't say who's going to take the NL West and Central, but let's just pick a team then. I'm going to say, will the Diamondbacks win the NL West? 8-Ball says, stuck in between them right now. My sources say no.
That mean the Rockies?
It must be the Rockies, yeah. So, will the Cubs win the the sex World hour? I didn't even see the handle. Will the Cubs win the? Yeah, the Cubs says yes. Will win the NL Central. So, any of the others we can turn up there? Let's see. I think we got them all.
Bringer of Rain said, why does our bullpen suck so bad? We could always turn it into, will the bullpen always be this bad?
Will the bullpen always be this bad? As I see it, yes.
Oh, this 8-Ball
hates our bullpen.
Between your 8-Ball and my 50-cent piece picking games for the NFL season this year, we're a little wild.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And
that's about it.
He says, why start Johnson when we have Wright? And I don't know if he listens.
Wright might wind up being our long relief guy, and I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah, you know, I asked in like an emergency situation, like just nothing's working out. Could Steven Wright start a game? Like,
yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. I mean, what if Sale?
It could happen. I don't think it's going to.
What if Sale or Price have to come out of the bullpen? You know, like, you know, what if that ends up being the solution? You know, because Porcello can't get out of the second inning, like. I don't know. That's interesting, and I like him, so it'd be fun to watch anyway.
Real quick, little last note. Mookie Betts is -235 to win the AL MVP. The next closest is Mike Trout at +450. JD Martinez at +500. So basically 5-1. So is Jose Ramirez and Jose Altuve at 10-1.
Yeah, so he's got it. Those are huge odds. So.
Yeah.
Well, all right, man. I think we covered everything. You know, it was kind of a weird series, so there'll be.
Will be absent Sunday.
You will be. So you're leaving me with Dave.
Dave left me with you.
Yeah, I know. Dave's a good guy.
I'm really upset about missing this next series, too, because I hate the Astros so much.
Yeah, and it could be a lot to really have to digest in that next show. So, yeah, we'll see. But I don't know if it'll just be Dave and I, or if I'll if find a, you know, a guest co-host or whatever, but I'll figure it out on Sunday.
All right.
Well, all right, man. Good show, and we'll see how the Red Sox and Astros pan out.
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a good night, bud. Well, all right, everyone. Just Austin and I tag teaming episode 78. So for those of you that hung tough, hope you enjoyed it. And hope we'll have a good series. The pitching matchups are definitely a lot more interesting with the Astros. And Yankees are losing 8-0 right now, top of the seventh. So all is right with the world, at least for now. As I say that, they hit a home run. I think that's El Gary Sanchez. So, oh well. Have a good night, everyone, and we'll catch you Sunday.
It's a kind of a family. Wherever I roam, a Fenway home. That's where I long to be. I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of insanity. Live and die with Red Sox pride for eternity. I sleepwalk through the days when there's a West Coast swing, married to the TV and the radio. For tickets in October, I'd give anything. Still paying Red Sox debts from long ago.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.